You are listening to the Experience Points podcast, the week of November 18th, 2015, and this week we dissect a blizzard of news direct to you.
Welcome back to the Experience Points podcast. I'm George Avor.
My name's Scott Juster.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net, a site dedicated to the serious but not humorless conversation about video games and what the conversations we've been having past couple weeks.
Mostly off mic, but you'll see that come to fruition once our army is... I've said too much.
Oh, God. This week on the podcast, we are talking about two major events that happened over the past couple weeks. One was BlizzCon 2015. That is the big Blizzard convention. Mm-hmm. Apparently at some point when you're big enough, you just fucking do whatever you want.
Yeah, you just have a convention.
Blizzard's been doing it for a while.
I'm renting this stadium.
Pretty soon King is gonna be doing it, I'm sure. Minecraft is already doing it, right? Minecon?
King Kong.
We are also talking about Nintendo Direct, which released a bunch of news earlier this, I guess, the preceding week from the date of recording.
Yeah.
So there's a bunch to talk about. Some of it actually was on our plate last week when we were talking about JRPGs. So I think we should start there.
Yes, let's start with the Blizzard side of the house.
So at BlizzCon 2015, they showed off a little bit of the Warcraft movie. Mm-hmm. I don't think we've talked about the Warcraft movie on the podcast.
No, we have not. Even though we have watched the trailer.
We have watched the trailers. We've cosplayed. We put on our elven garb right now. I'm in full orc makeup.
I was about to say, cosplayed, not past tense.
We cos-live, okay?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts? You didn't play World of Warcraft.
Nah. I mean, I've, like, clicked around in it, but never have played it seriously.
I have played Warcraft, World of Warcraft. Do you think that our low expectations for this film are equally matched? Do you think this movie is going to be as much shit as I think this movie is going to be?
I'm pretty sure my reaction when I watched it, I asked you, like, is this one of those movies where, like, Ben Kingsley is secretly in it? You know how, like, he was in that one D&D movie that a while back? Like,
dude,
I mean,
he's secretly in all movies. Yeah. He's in Star Wars, dude. He's probably, he's BB-8.
He's just rolling around. It's called acting. That movie looks pretty bad. But, you know, it might be so bad that it's funny, like in a campy way.
Yes.
Like, I feel like it could actually be that terrible.
But do people see campy movies that cost millions and millions of dollars? I think the answer is no.
I mean, any movie
could. The answer is Avatar. But then the answer is no.
Both types of Avatar. I haven't followed this too much, but I'm assuming that movie was fairly expensive. There's a lot of effect shots in it.
It must be. Yeah. It must be. I don't think there's any crazy high name actors, right? Like, this isn't
Brad
Jelena are not playing like the king and queen of Stormwind.
That would be great. Here's a question though. Would that get you at all interested in seeing it? If Brad Pitt was in a Warcraft movie, come on. Like,
I mean, yes.
One of the most famous actors of all time.
With no level of sarcasm, the answer is yes. I would 100%, because what the fuck?
He's like, what's in the box? Oh, it's a purple.
it's a fucking sweet pauldron. Look, Brad Pitt makes weird choices for films he's going to be in
sometimes. That's true, yeah.
If he made the decision to go into Warcraft, there must be something in the script that is pure brilliant. Otherwise, why would he make that decision?
That's true.
That's not the case here, though. No. Most of the actors are unknown. That being said, Duncan Jones is the director of this movie. Duncan Jones, also known as the son of David Bowie.
What?
Did you not know that? Yeah.
Oh.
David Bowie's
son.
Wait,
didn't he also do something like Moon or something?
He directed
like that?
Moon, yes. Yeah. Now, Moon is a brilliant piece of science fiction.
Huh.
Awesome movie. If you have not seen Moon and you're listening to this podcast, I highly recommend it.
It's a real diamond dog.
So Duncan Jones is directing it. He is very knowledgeable about fandoms in general.
Yeah.
So I have.
Does
a
he
feeling,
do other stuff like other like you know? Big...
I think he's only done Moon. I think that was his first direct.
But you say he's knowledgeable about fandoms.
Yeah, he's written about things and he tweets and stuff.
Okay.
Like he went into Warcraft being excited about it because he likes that franchise.
Okay.
Right.
Okay,
he's not totally oblivious. Right. Yeah. They're not shopping this out to some rando because he's cheap. Mm. Although I suspect Duncan Jones is also cheap.
Yeah, I mean, he's not Steven Spielberg or whatever.
He's
but
not
like,
Steven Spielberg.
You know.
So maybe there's some level of affection for it. My problem is there's a lot of affection for Warcraft, and Warcraft has looked shitty and weird and tacky since day one. I'm going to go on a limb and say that.
You mean as a game?
As a game. I don't think the aesthetic of Warcraft ever looked good. I think it looked sufficient for its needs and was welcoming to a lot of people from an MMO perspective. I don't think it ever achieved the level of aesthetic attractiveness that things like Lord of the Rings did as a film experience. So when you see like huge shoulder pads on these characters' shoulders, or the colors of the like blue uniforms, or the way that the orc face works, I don't think that that can work in any way. Like, you could not, you just cannot make it work in reality, because it never worked in the fictitious universe of Warcraft itself.
It's kind of like the X-Men challenge, where when they made the X-Men movies, like, what are you going to do? Like, make Wolverine have like a yellow and blue spandex suit? Like, how are you going to make this read in a movie?
And the same thing happens with Daredevil, right? A show both you and I really loved. Yep. The last episode, minor spoiler alert, when he puts on the costume.
Spoiler alert, he becomes the Daredevil.
Daredevil. When he puts on the costume and you see him as the comic Daredevil. It is not the triumphant moment it's trying to be.
Yeah, it was a bit of a bummer.
It becomes like, right, I forgot. This is a comic book movie. You were a superhero. Superheroes look dumb. That's just the way it is.
Yeah. I feel like this movie wouldn't happen, though, without World of Warcraft. And it's interesting that they even call it Warcraft, period. Like, they don't call it, like, World of Warcraft : The Rising or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's strange that the only reason why Warcraft is still in the public consciousness is because of WoW. And the words World of are not in the title of this movie.
Well, maybe this is like a tease at another Warcraft game.
I mean, at this point, you've not played WoW for longer than you played WoW.
Ooh, is that true?
I betcha.
Wow, yeah.
When did you stop? 2010?
I stopped at Cataclysm, so that was what, 4 years? No, I think it's still been longer.
Okay.
Because Cataclysm was what, like 4 years ago?
Probably, maybe? Yeah.
And I've had played before then, like 4 or 5.
Actually, okay, yeah, so maybe. you might be at the tipping point.
I might be at the tipping point.
But the point is that there have been generations of people that have played WoW and walked away from it.
So I just met my nephew's girlfriend this past couple weeks or so ago, and she has a Horde tattoo, and I was giving her shit because I always played Alliance.
Yeah.
Alliance for life.
But I showed her my Alliance tattoo.
and we got in an actual fight.
Through some lightning bolts.
She had a bastard sword, so she bested me in that moment. But I learned that she didn't play World of Warcraft until Cataclysm.
That blows my mind.
The fact that someone fell in love with World of Warcraft after I left it and still felt so passionately about it enough to get a tattoo is mind-blowing to me. Mind-blowing to me. So clearly there's a lot of strong feelings about Warcraft and World of Warcraft. So even if I think the movie is going to be tacky, I'm still rooting for it. I want it to be good because I think a lot of people want it to be good. A lot of people out there who put in their time and their money and love the world are hoping to get something cool out of it. So, I don't know. Maybe it'll be good. I'm not optimistic, but who knows?
Okay. Let's talk about some other Blizzard stuff. Let's talk about Heroes of the Storm.
Heroes of the Storm.
Heroes of the Storm chugging along as like a pretty solid MOBA option out there these days. Few new characters. I think the funny thing is I actually don't know Blizzard franchises all that well, which makes it weird that I fairly frequently play Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah.
Because like half of them are like, oh yeah.
Yeah, this guy.
I kind of remember that guy from StarCraft. I don't know. Maybe. Look, a tank. You know, like. But I mean, it's still interesting to see what they are doing.
You don't love the Lost Vikings, Scott?
I think the Lost Vikings are hilarious. I can't believe they don't have Blackthorn as a character yet.
I don't know who that is. Is he of Lost
Vikings? We played Blackthorn on a stream one time.
Oh, that's right.
It was the guy who
he's got a whip?
No, he has a shotgun, and if you press the whatever it was on Super Nintendo, Y button or something, he puts the shotgun behind him, arm outstretched, and fires blindly backwards.
That's sick.
Remember that shit?
Yeah.
That was the one where you could cover by holding up into the environment.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And you shot
ahead of
things.
Its time.
Yeah. I mean, but anyway, the point is, I can't believe they don't have Blackthorn as a hero yet. But anyway, they released...
They do have your letters, though.
Yeah. They released a few new heroes. I think the one of note that I really want to play is Cho'Gall.
Cho'Gall. This is so cool.
And it's also like, I think Chogall encapsulates why, I think it encapsulates what Heroes of the Storm is trying to do.
Yes,
it's in the MOBA space.
It's trying to give the big middle finger to all of your expectations.
Yeah.
Oh, MOBAs? Fuck MOBAs. Yeah. We do what we want. We're Blizzard. You know what?
Yeah.
It's crazy. So, for people who don't know, what is so special about Chogall?
Yeah. He has two heads. He's an ogre or some sort of giant or beast or something like that. Mm-hmm. He has two heads. Each independently controlled by a different player on the same team.
So fucking good. Two players, one character. That's amazing. I love this concept. So what's especially neat, so normal matches of Heroes of the Storm are five-player matches. If you play with Chogall, two of you are playing as Chogall. Therefore, there's only four people on your team.
Yeah.
So it is a four versus five scenario, which opens up the door for all these crazy balancing questions, mm-hmm. right? Chogall has to be powerful enough to justify him being two people at once.
Yep.
If you kill him, you get a double kill. So there's this huge reward if you're able to take him down.
Yeah.
So there's this weird level where I suspect most people will want to get the kill on him.
Yeah.
And therefore focus his fire on him.
Yep.
Now, in a normal Heroes of the Storm match, you generally don't want to clump up against people with AoE, right? Mm. Because that's how you end up getting hosed, right? If two people are in the same spot during some crazy chaotic storm, they're both going to take the damage.
Yep.
So normally you would split up. These characters cannot split up. So all AoE damage will be going towards both of them.
Yeah.
Similarly, I'm not entirely sure how this works yet.
Yeah.
But stuns will stack on them in the same way.
Yeah.
So one stun ability is now stunning what is functionally two characters.
Yeah.
So to me, it seems like there's a danger of it being so unbalanced against Chogall.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Blizzard has specifically said, we are upping his power to make him feel super, super strong.
Yeah.
Which means I feel like he might just be some crazy pub-stomping character mm-hmm. that is just super bizarre.
I mean, I just the possibilities of him. Like, I imagine, like you said, he'll be a very attractive target. And so you could just go in and draw a bunch of fire while the rest of your team kind of satellites around you.
Right.
And, like, you know, you're the bait, basically.
I mean, you're basically like a boss.
Yeah.
And you're like, hoping everyone around you, like, covers your ass.
It's just kind of a wacky thing. And it's just, that's the thing. Blizzard is going at the MOBA space with, like, more wackiness.
Mm-hmm.
And like, this, like, oh my god, can you imagine the fucking shit fest that this would be if, like, Valve did this in Dota?
Yeah.
Like, oh my god.
That would be incredible.
Like, people would flip out.
I mean, what's nuts, too, is we can imagine, I mean, there's even some thematic wonderfulness, right? Because, so, when two people are playing Chogall, one of them controls the movement, the other just controls the head.
Yeah.
That means you're going to get in scenarios where the head that can't control movement is yelling at the other player, no, go here, what are you doing? Now, two-headed trolls will yell at each other.
Yeah, exactly.
It's such a beautiful, thematic, mechanical thing. I love it. I can't get enough of it.
Yeah. Haven't played it yet, though, because you have to play with someone that already has it.
The only way to get him is to play as him with somebody else.
God. Yeah. So I got to figure that out. I got to unlock that for my account, and then we'll play as him.
I mean, again, I just love the fact that Blizzard is like, you know what? We can do whatever we want, so let's go super weird.
Yep.
That's the type of creativity that I feel like only they can pull off right now because they're so new to the MOBA space.
Yeah. And they got money to burn, too.
And they have money to burn, like, right? Yeah. But League of Legends can't fuck with their system that much.
Yep.
Their code is just too old.
Yep.
Dota 2 can't really either, so let's leave it up to HOTS.
Okay, let's burn through a few more of these BlizzCon ones. So, Overwatch, did you play the Overwatch beta?
Did not play the beta.
I did not play the Overwatch beta. Were you shocked that Overwatch was not free to play?
Shocked. Yeah. Absolutely shocked.
I think I would have bet real significant money on this.
I would have too. Will you spend real significant money on this?
Hell no.
No, probably not. I mean, I don't...
Which also is like a huge shift in my mindset about some video games now. Like, free-to-play has really warped the way I look at... I realized this because of Overwatch. Yeah. I was like, oh, wow, free-to-play really has an effect on my brain now.
I mean, that being said, if anyone can do this, it seems like Blizzard would be right?
Yeah.
Because enough people are going to buy it day one that will keep the community alive.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they'll be releasing content, there'll be some DLC or whatever, and then the game will go on sale and more people will pick it up because it becomes an even better deal. And then one day, when maybe a year down the line, mm-hmm. when everyone who's going to buy Overwatch has bought it already, they'll announce that it's going free-to-play yeah. and still reap yeah. in the free-to-play money.
It's just shocking that they're not launching free-to-play. I mean, I suppose Blizzard has always been the one that can get away with charging a premium on things right. that other people have been giving away, but the idea of like a team-based slash objective-based, class-based first-person shooter, yeah. yeah, like it's, I don't know, it just seems perfectly tailored. And also the fact that currently that genre is not a popular one. I mean, it's popular, but not as popular as MOBAs. Right. Like, they're kind of fighting an uphill battle for an audience anyway, so they must feel pretty confident yeah. that they're
well, and there's so many competitors, right? Yeah. I mean, you still have people playing Team Fortress 2, but right. there's Battleborn, there's Battlecry, there's yeah. all sorts of stuff out there.
Yeah, it's just a strange yeah, I would have like easily placed a $100 bet that would have been free to play. Like easily.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, well, I can't back Kodak into can't a corner. Deny it.
Nope.
Okay. Any other oh, you know, I wanted to just ask you this because I'm not playing it, but are you playing any Hearthstone?
No, but I did see that they released recently a co-op mode, which might just be attractive enough to pull me back in.
Yeah. I mean, they had like a huge like world championship or something at BlizzCon, but yeah, like I feel like it's one of those things that I don't really have much interest in, but is secretly one of the hugest games out there right now.
Yeah. I mean, my understanding is that they're constantly dealing with crazy balance issues.
Yeah.
So it's fun to watch from the sidelines, but I just don't know if I have the interest to invest in it.
Well, plus, I mean, you have a personal history with Magic the Gathering.
I do.
So it's like, okay, well,
history that continues to this day.
Yeah. Well, it's like, okay, I'm in the Magic ecosystem. Do I really want to get into the, like, Heroes yeah. or the Hearthstone ecosystem?
It's like, I know the cost of war. Yeah. Am I really going to enlist in a brand new battle? No.
Well, not only that, they're competing with something like Netrunner, which is not a video game, but is
the best game ever made.
Well, it's like a CCG, which is the same audience that would LCG, be going after. Fact. Yeah.
But yes, exactly right.
So, I mean, it's kind of, there's just a big audience, and also there's huge games in that genre right now, so it's a competitive space.
Yep.
And it's something that, like, to me is fascinating to continue to watch them tweak them, because every time I hear someone talk about Hearthstone, it's usually either it's mostly here's the trajectory. It's like, oh my god, I freaking hate Hearthstone, here's why, blah blah blah, I played 10 games in a row, lost for fucking bullshit yeah, reasons every yeah. single time. Are you gonna stop playing? Oh hell no. Yeah. I play 100 more games after that.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
It sounds like it's a problem.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I hear all the time, oh, if I don't win this match in the first 2-3 rounds,
yeah,
it's over.
Exactly.
What? Like, why play with that? I don't know.
GG.
GG.
Okay. Let's switch over to Nintendo. Nintendo Direct.
Mm-hmm. This is their like couch reveal session that they do now and then.
This is Nintendo's genius way of not having to ever participate in like E3 ever again.
Yeah, it's like, at very low cost, because yeah. it's literally just three dudes on a couch.
I'm gonna just stream this
talking
stuff.
About video games.
First, was this the first post Iwata?
I think
Nintendo
it was,
Direct.
Yeah.
Huh, interesting. I wonder if they did anything or did any tribute or anything. Okay, let's talk about Legend of Zelda shit.
Okay, Twilight Princess?
There was a Twilight Princess thing. There was Zelda for Wii U. How do you feel about this?
Zelda for Wii U?
Yeah. You have a Wii U.
I do have a Wii U now. Yeah, I mean, I'll probably play it. It's open world. The way that they're talking about it is like, oh, it's everything you've ever wanted. Look at these blades of grass.
But they showed like another 10 seconds or something.
It's literally like 10 or 15 seconds of him on Epona.
I do think the art style is interesting, because it's more like Wind Waker, but yeah. but not as
pastel
kiddie looking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My one concern is that, and this is my concern with all open world games, mm-hmm. is that they're going to be open, but there's nothing to do that in them.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I mean, had Nintendo ever made an open world game before? Would it give you more reassurance if they were like, hey, these are the games we've played over the past couple years that inspire us?
Yeah.
Like, I have no idea what, you know, what route they're going with.
I mean,
that space.
It's hard to kind of bet against them. Like, had Nintendo ever created a shooter before Splatoon?
That's true.
Probably not.
They hired a team to do it.
But I mean, Nintendo has a million internal dev teams. Like,
what I suspect, and actually what I kind of hope, is that it's more like Shadow of the Colossus with mm-hmm. an open world sort of hub system
yeah.
that then unlocks. I mean, that would be the Zelda oeuvre anyway. Yeah. It fit in there really well.
I mean, honestly, the first Zelda game was kind of was the proto open world game. Like,
that's true.
There wasn't anything really that gated about it. Like, you could go to there wasn't any set order for the dungeons.
Right.
So, I mean, it's kind of, in a weird way, you know, almost 30 years later, they're getting back to, like, weirdly where they started.
Right.
But the whole point is that, like, we don't even know if they know what an open world game means.
that's true. Punisher looks pretty, though.
Yeah. That might not even be Epona. Beautiful
flowing mane.
That's the great-great-great-great-granddaughter of Epona.
Epone.
So they're doing, and they also did a Twilight Princess, you know, whatever, HD remake or something like that.
As they do.
What I want to know is this the GameCube version or the Wii version?
Oh, because those are two different
Because the versions. Wii version was mirrored because most people are right-handed and they wanted you to swing the Wii remote with your dominant hand and they flipped the game.
I hope it's not, because isn't it canon that Link is left-handed?
Link has traditionally been left-handed.
Right. I mean, that's how you
These
know.
Are the important questions.
I mean, that's how you Come know on, you're an game adventurer. Reporters. That's how you know you're an adventurer.
Yeah. That's when I realized that as a child that I was right-handed, I just rolled this quiet tear in my room. Did you ever play Twilight Princess, anything like that?
I did not, no.
It was like, I think it was probably one of the better Zelda games, but it was, you know, it had the misfortune of being at the very end of the GameCube and the very beginning of the Wii, and so it just kind of weirdly got lost.
I mean, if I have time, I'll check it out.
Yeah. Okay, so we talked a little bit about Zelda.
We didn't talk about Linkle.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, we haven't talked about Linkle yet.
The burning question of what if Zelda was a girl?
Yeah.
Well, now we know what Zelda as a girl would look like.
God. I don't want you to have to put anyone on blast here, but have you ever talked to someone that likes Hyrule Warriors?
I have. Hyrule Warriors is a sleeping giant.
Yeah.
Like, people really enjoy that game.
But then when you ask them why, it's always like, Zelda, there's a million guys on the screen. And I'm like, aren't you just like pressing the A button over and over again for
what
like
an A
hour?
Button it is.
Yeah, like,
I mean, yeah, it's the same. The thing is, that game doesn't look good.
Yeah.
I don't think it can look good. It looks like a bad Dynasty Warriors.
I mean, it was by the team that did Dynasty Warriors games, which, spoiler alert, tend to be bad.
Tend to be, but that's because they made so many of them. There are some good Dynasty Warriors games.
I mean, I guess, but it's kind of like the best Dynasty Warriors game. How far is it away from the worst Dynasty Warriors
that's
game?
True. Like, that being said, it's hard to ignore. I mean, how many people have you spoken to that played Hyrule Warriors and hated it?
Yeah.
None, because they just didn't play it.
Well, it's also just kind of like, it's like bland food.
What are the odds that the only people who played Hyrule Warriors are the exact same people who were prone to like it already?
Probably 100%. So, I mean, why would
who
you
Who else would buy that game? Like, nerds?
I mean, Linkle is weird. Yeah. I think that Nintendo's approach to Link
Is like the answer to Rule 34 that people have been...
Well, yeah, I mean, it's kind of like they went to DeviantArt and were like, oh, this is a good idea. And then just like put out some DLC.
In fact, I saw someone on, I think someone on Reddit had posted an image of them in cosplay as a gender-bent Link.
Yeah.
And it's like exactly Linkle.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the nice thing about Link, just on a more serious note, is Link has been a kind of a cipher, androgynous character. And part of that is because in some of the games he's like more childlike, so the whole theme of like sexuality is kind of not there. But like, you know,
not to say that I bring it there.
It's kind of nice that like if you are a little kid, regardless of what gender you are, it's a bit easier to superimpose yourself onto Link than it is to superimpose yourself onto Mario, because he has a mustache, you know. Like,
and he's like, he also has a day job, a plumber.
Yeah, and he has
wears
a girlfriend.
Overalls, and he has a girlfriend. Yeah. Does he have a girlfriend?
Well, Princess Peach. I mean,
are they? Do we know that?
Are they Facebook official? I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, she's asking for help, but he doesn't sleep at the castle, right? He doesn't have a bed. He doesn't sleep in her bed.
I mean, you can't tie Mario down. I mean, he's. It's a head off to the minus world every once in a while. Yeah,
hit the player, hit the game.
I don't know. I think it's just hilarious how obsessed people are with this Hyrule Warriors, and it's exclusively because it is a Zelda skinned
Linkle.
Yeah.
I tell you what though, it's only the name that bothers me. I don't care that it's a female Link.
Yeah, it's really stupid.
Linkle? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's too close to Tinkle.
Yeah, Tingle is like, oh man. I wish they just made Tingle a playable character.
They should add Tingle into Smash Brothers.
Speaking of which, I think that's probably the biggest news.
You think? Okay.
I bet you it is. I mean, I think it's what else? Okay, Cloud. Remember Cloud? Pop quiz.
Who could forget?
What's Cloud's last name?
Strife.
Yep. Oh man. How
come the fuck?
How
on,
deep
Scott.
Is that? Well, I mean, I don't know. Like, what's Squall's last name?
Squall Lionheart.
I think that's right. Isn't
you're
it?
Damn right,
yeah.
It is.
Okay. See,
I don't know. Maybe I hope it is.
Whatever. Like late '90s JRPGs are. That's how big of an impact they made on people.
That's true.
I still know the
we
stupid
know their
last
names.
Name of
yeah.
Like. Anyway, Cloud's in Super Smash Brothers. Guess what? It's another anime-looking sword character.
Fucking. That's one thing I'm so sick of.
Yeah.
Like, we've got so many of these characters.
The moveset actually did look kind of disappointing. Like, it looked a lot like a combination of, like...
Ike.
Marth and Ike and, I'm really feeling it. Whatever.
Monado!
Yeah. I forget his name.
Shulk,
yeah. It's super cool to see. But another sword character is kind of irritating to me.
You start getting the suspicion that they're releasing these characters... Solely because it's a quick turnaround for
them. Yeah. Like, but I mean, Ryu was different. Like, that was kind of interesting to me. It's just, I think it just so happens that a super popular character
is Cloud.
Yeah, is Cloud, and he also has a sword.
Do you think that Cloud won, like, a super majority of the write-ins during their write-in campaign?
I bet maybe not a super majority, because I bet there was someone like, God, what was the big one that was out there?
I was still pushing Professor Layton.
I know that would, I mean... We've said that on the podcast multiple times.
It's going to fucking happen. There's a big announcement in December. I'm going to put $5 right now. Layton. I mean, the thing is, maybe
he could
not.
Be a dual character. He could be a puppet character and have Luke as a separate.
That would be
separate.
Great.
Yeah, like.
That would be so good.
Yeah. I mean, I would consider purchasing Cloud for Super Smash Bros.
I mean,
Brothers.
If you look at it now, though, right? So you've got Cloud. You've got Ryu.
Yeah.
You've got Roy. They're going pretty old school.
Yeah.
So I feel like if they're going to do anything, they're just going to do another old school character.
Yeah.
Like somebody else from old...
I mean, I was disappointed to see that Solid Snake didn't make it past Brawl. Like, that was kind of a bummer.
I mean, I don't think... Yeah, I don't think Konami's going to let them do it now.
Yeah.
Waluigi, I mean, that's a real possibility.
Yeah. I wish they would put in a squid from...
Splatoon?
From Splatoon.
That would be great.
I think that would be pretty fun.
You know what? Actually, I bet you another one of the limiting factors is the stage, because Cloud is also coming with his own stage, and each of the characters do. In fact, Ryo's stage is actually really cool. I like his stage a lot. Cloud's looks like a shit show that I will never play, but...
There's so many, like, weird summons that are, like,
so
blowing
bizarre.
Up. Yeah,
but so I suspect that when they're thinking about character design, they must also necessarily think about stage design, at which point... You know, you're going to have different limiting factors on who you can bring into the game.
Yeah. I don't know. It looks cool. I'm glad that they're continuing to support that game, because I think it's a cool game.
Agreed.
Okay, let's do a couple more quick hits here. That Star Fox game, people still are not really happy about that.
Well, it's coming in April.
Yeah, so we'll see. I don't know. I have a soft spot for Star Fox 64 especially, but that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Did you ever play Star Fox?
Yeah, of course.
Okay,
dude, so much Star Fox. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I think everyone's concern is it's going to end up like, what, Kid Icarus? You know, where people had a soft spot and then it was just trash.
Did you ever play that Kid Icarus game? That was the one that you could that they sold a separate stand for your 3DS. Remember that?
Was it because of wrist?
Yeah, like you had to hold the 3DS in a certain way that was like cramp-inducing, so they had like a separate stand to have that.
I mean, at least that's considerate.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Nintendo's nothing if not considerate.
Ergonomics.
There's a couple of remakes. Pokemon Red, Blue, and Yellow on the 3DS eShop. I mean, those games came out, what, like almost 20 years ago now?
Yeah.
Like,
do you think these games will forever come out?
I mean,
like,
when
I'm 80... Like 50 something years.
Yeah. You're gonna be like, oh, it's Pokemon Blue.
Pokemon Blue
on the new holodeck that I have. Yeah, like
on the 7DS.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, it's. I think there's something.
The Dreamweave spiders can finally start threading in Pokemon into my nightscapes.
I mean, we all know that anything beyond the 151 is bullshit. So I mean, I think these are the only true Pokemon.
That's true.
There is a Mother 3 availability in Japan only for the Virtual Console. But that makes me hopeful that they will translate it and put it on the US one.
Yes, that would be great. And we'd play it.
Oh, yeah, we would.
I'm going to Japan. Is there any way I
purchase could, like, a Japanese Wii U?
I mean, is there? I don't think there's any way. I guess I could do that.
I mean, you could, but you would then have to. We would then have to play learn the game Japanese. In Japanese. Yeah, we wouldn't be able to get the kind of wistful melancholy with our.
That's true.
Our Japanese 101 level language skills.
You'd probably pick it up pretty quick.
That's true. Okay, last couple things here. A couple more Pokemon things. Pokemon no one cares tournament. About that.
Well, it's a fighting game. You don't think that's going to be any fun?
I mean, it might be kind
of. We have a Pokemon fighting game already. It's called Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
But that's the Street Fighter version.
Yeah, I guess it's so just kind of life bar based rather than percentage based or something. I mean, I guess it'd be. I mean, I think that it would be cooler in the broader Pokemon ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you could train one of your Pokemon and then they level on the up. DS and then you, yeah, exactly. That'd you bring cool. them in. It also is kind of shocking to me that Nintendo has never made a huge console budget Pokemon game.
Like
I always think this is going to be the console when they'll have Pokemon World or whatever they call it. You know, it's like it's like so they have Snap, they had Pokemon Stadium back in the day. Mm-hmm. They have this, and they just have never really created what I would think of as like a Zelda scope Pokemon game.
And I don't think this is it either.
Yeah. And maybe it will never come because it's just too efficient to do them on the DSs, you know? Like, probably, why would you do it?
Yeah, that's probably a good assessment.
Okay. Last thing I wanted to point out there, because I think this was sorely needed. Super Mario Maker is getting some more search tools.
Yeah.
Web-based. Not that's... in-game based.
You know, I feel like...
Fire up your web browser.
We need to give
Netscape Navigator.
Look, if you have a learning disability, okay, you still need positive encouragement,
okay,
even if you've not yet caught up to where you should be.
It becomes a relative scale.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is huge applause to Nintendo, even though you're still like a decade behind your competitors.
Yeah, you can go on the internet and you launch a website or something. And
while you have your Wii U, I mean, there is a web browser on your Wii U.
Yeah, I could. You could just pull up the...
But what's the point of that then? So you search for it on this web browser, and then it gives you the code, which you then enter into Mario Maker?
Yes, because up until this point, the preferred method was taking a screenshot with your phone and then uploading it to Twitter.
Easy to use. Easy.
In a way, though, it made for this quaint little playground-esque feeling of like, oh, I wrote my code down on a piece of paper, test it out. Like, it's like you're basically having a game genie again or something.
That's true. What I will say, though, is I'm really pleased with how quickly they're patching Mario Maker.
Yes.
They've already done a bunch of releases. They released the one that gives you a checkpoint, which is cool.
I thought that was cool.
And the community around Mario Maker has been so productive, making such fucking crazy cool levels. Yeah. A lot of them suck, but a lot of them are fucking brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And they've done that without all of the crazy amount of support you would expect this type of game to get.
Yeah.
Which in my mind means this game's just going to get better and better and better and better over the next year.
I mean, it's one of those things that is kind of... I mean, it's a game, obviously, but it's more of a... I feel like it has more in common with something like Minecraft.
Yeah.
You know, like it is a tool.
It's a tool set.
Yeah, you know, and it'll just kind of persist after... There will be a niche community around this well after the Wii U, because it's just, where else are you going to get as robust a tool to make Mario levels?
Yeah.
Like, no one's going to download the editors on their PC. Like, exactly. They can just use that.
It's a historical experience.
Yeah. I really hope that somewhere in Mario Maker, like, Miyamoto is just secretly uploading levels.
Oh, man.
And, like, seeing. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, I could see him retiring and going, like, guys, I'm leaving. I'm Nintendo. Yeah. I'm not going to make games anymore. Or am I?
Yeah. It's like mystery level like reaches the top of the Mario Maker charts. I mean, like
if Miyamoto had like a public Nintendo ID, maybe he does, and made a level every like a couple months, it would spread. It would be all over.
It would be so fascinating for him to secretly do it and see how high those levels get.
I bet you it's too limiting for him.
Mm.
You know, because it's still a 2D thing. Do you think they'll ever release 3D Mario Maker?
Hmm. I mean, we say no, I would say no right like right now, but like the rise of things like Unity and just how easy those things are getting, like eventually they must, right? Like
sure.
I don't know.
Imagine you buy, because what a great add-on, right? Yeah. What a great addition to that, yeah, that group of games if you can all of a sudden make, you know, Galaxy.
Yeah.
Or any of the others, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man.
Wouldn't that be so fucking cool? Or even, you know, Mario 64.
Remake Mario 64.
Sure. Like, even give you, like, oh, here's a painting and you can upload a selfie and then jump into Scott's face to play his level.
You just fall into, like, a black hole in there. Like, it's a metaphor, George.
Just like a really dark, dark hellscape.
Help me.
The Dreamweavers.
All right. Well, that's all the news that's fit to make fun of from Nintendo and Blizzard. We love those guys over
BlizzNet.
There. BlizzNet. Yeah. If you have any thoughts or comments, experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And experiencepoints.net is our, what would it be this week? I guess it would be our Mario 64 castle.
Is that the name of the castle? It's our press hub. That's our main stage.
There you go.
Yeah.
Leave us a rating on iTunes and Stitcher. It helps us find new listeners. Really, seriously. It helps us. Thank you.
All right. Until next time, everyone, thank you for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Bye. Every time we